I remember one night I got on my knees. Now, I'd not gotten on my knees for years, but I got on my knees. I'd never get on my knees except when I lose something under the bed. That's the only time I get on my knees. But I got on my knees and I said, Lord, if you're real, I open my heart to you. Lord, if you're real, I give you my life. And would you guide me every day? Because you have a future and a hope for me. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and that's you.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, part two of a message entitled, Getting Our Attention. You'll hear part of Pastor Wayne's testimony, how the Lord got his attention. It's an incredible story. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Getting Our Attention.
Let's read Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Go. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Would you circle the words, take refuge in him? In other words, God is saying, I cannot be a shield to you until you take refuge in me. It's a decision I have to make. And sometimes the only way that God helps me to see how futile it is for me to trust in man is to cut and wean us off of them, end up alone for a while. Then we realize that we can't be people pleasers, celebrity followers, or just kind of hobnobbing. Because the Bible says this, Proverbs 29, 25. Read it with me, go. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but to trust the Lord means, yeah, see, men will lead you astray, but Jesus will always lead us towards God's best. And that's what the Lord is saying. Because man can sometimes make mistakes and we lean on them too much and we fall. And the Lord says, no, lean on me and I will never let you fall, because man makes mistakes. Stories told of Billy Graham, the great evangelist, who was going to do a crusade in a certain city. But earlier in the day, he had to leave his hotel to find the post office to mail some letters. Well, on the way, he met a little boy and he asked him, and he said, excuse me, do you know how to get to the post office? And the little boy gave him very clear directions, and he said, thank you. And then this great evangelist, Billy Graham, invited the little boy to that crusade. Hey, I'm having a crusade this evening right over there. Come. And the little boy said, well, what are you going to be talking about tonight? And Billy Graham said, well, I'll be telling people how to get to heaven. And the little boy said, then I don't think I'll come. And Billy Graham said, why? He said, because the boy said, how can you tell people how to get to heaven when you can't even find your way to the post office? Sometimes God weans us off of people because he is the one that wants to show us direction. And so he uses isolation. But why does God want us to have attention with him? Why does he want to get our attention? Ultimately, would you write in number three, in order to show us his son. God wants to show us his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that will speak to us and give us direction. Let's read what Hebrews 1 says. Go. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. But now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. You know who is speaking today? Jesus is speaking. And that's why we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, not just a religious experience, no, a daily relationship with Jesus. Then when God gets our attention, we say, Lord, what would you do? Let me show you my son. And Jesus is the one who came to die for your sins and mine. Because you see, sins is sort of like the insulation that causes me to not hear the Lord. When I sin or reject what God wants me to do or to be or where to go, it's sort of like it makes me numb or dull to the voice of God. And God can't reach us because we have chosen to reject him. How do we break down that dividing wall? Jesus came to break, the Bible says, that dividing wall between God and man so that there can be a relationship restored or repaired. And it was his sacrifice that gave access back to the Father. And that's why we need to receive the work that Jesus has done on the cross to say, thank you, Lord, because I was separated from God by my sins and would have been forever except for your forgiveness. That's why. Jonah was like that. Jonah cried out to God. Let's read what takes place in Jonah 2:2. Would you read it with me? Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish and said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. You see, that's the place God wants each of us, to come to a place where we cry out to God. Well, that happened to me. I was in a trailer in Portland, Oregon, and everything had been going wrong. I had a relationship that had broken. The band had broken up. I was struggling with my heart, and I knew I was running from God. Well, it was at a college that a guy had given me a New Testament Bible and said, just read this here. And so I remember reading portions of it. I didn't understand much. But he began to talk to me, just like I'm talking to you, about the need for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, Wayne, your life will change then, because then you'll be able to start hearing God. I mean, he'll actually guide you. He'll get your attention and speak to you and guide you so you don't go over the edge. And I remember one night I got on my knees. Now, I'd not gotten on my knees for years, but I got on my knees. I'd never get on my knees except when I lose something under the bed. That's the only time I get on my knees. But I got on my knees and I said, Lord, if you're real, I open my heart to you. Well, see, I knew about God, but I'd never made this kind of relationship talk with God. Lord, if you're real, I give you my life in exchange for your forgiveness. And would you guide me every day? Because you know my future, I don't. And when I'm running away from you, you're seeing that I'm running away from my future that you have planned, because you have a future and a hope for me. So you intercept me and catch my attention and turn me around, and you're guiding me. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and that's you. So Lord, I just lay my life in your hands and I ask for forgiveness. And I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. It was a simple prayer like that, but my life changed, radically changed from that moment on. Every day I started understanding more and more about the Lord. God began to speak to me and change me and transform me. Now I always look back to that time in that little mobile home where I made that decision, and I cried out to the Lord like Jonah from the stomach, the belly of a fish, and God heard my cry. Let's read what Acts 2 says. Would you read it with me? Go. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah. And that's God speaking to you. There's some of you here that say, you know, Wayne, I need to call on the Lord. God's been trying to get my attention. The fact that you were invited here today tells me that God is wanting to get your attention. And now it's important for us to say, Lord, show me your son. I've got to make a decision. When I made that decision that day, I didn't realize it would be the most eternal decision that I'll ever make. And I still had nothing. I mean, I was just still a college kid at that time. But you know, even though it wasn't like God all of a sudden did a miracle and I had a whole bunch of blessings. No, I still had to grow up, mature, and go through some trials. I had still nothing, but I had everything when I opened my heart to Jesus Christ. And that's the very same thing that I want to offer to you. I want to offer you that opportunity that I had that transformed my life. God got my attention for a reason, and he's getting yours for the same, to show you his son. Let me finish with a story. I shared this a couple of years, 3 years ago, but it's just such a poignant story. There was a wealthy man who, he and his son loved to collect rare artwork. Picasso's, Raphael's, I mean, very expensive ones. And they would often sit and just admire the paintings. But then the Vietnam conflict broke out. And when it did, his son was drafted into war. He was very courageous, but he died in battle trying to rescue another soldier. And the father was notified and just grieved so deeply for his son. A few months later, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door. And he opened the door and there was a young man there with a very large package. And he said, sir, you don't know me. But I'm the soldier that your son gave his life for. He saved many lives that day. In fact, he was carrying me to safety when a bullet struck him in the heart. That's when your son died instantly. And he often talked about you and your love for art. The young man held out the package and he said, I know this isn't much, and I'm not really that great of an artist, but I think your son would have wanted you to have this. Well, the father opened up the package and it was a portrait of his son painted by that young soldier. And he stared in awe at the way the soldier had captured the personality of his son in that painting. And the father was so drawn to the eyes of his own son that his own eyes welled up with tears. He thanked the young man and offered to pay him for this picture. And the young man said, oh no, I could never repay him for the gift of my life. Well, the father hung the portrait over his mantle, and every time visitors came to his house, he took time to share with them the portrait of his son before he would show them any of the great world-class paintings in his home. Well, some months later, this man died, and there would be a great auction of all the paintings, and the most influential people of the land gathered, excited to see the great paintings and have an opportunity to purchase one for their collection. And on the platform, there also was the portrait of this man's son. And the auctioneer pounded his gavel and said, we're going to start now with the bidding for the picture of the son. Who will bid for this picture? And someone in the back of the room said, do that at the end. Start with the Picassos and the Raphaels. And he said, no, and he hit his gavel again. Will someone bid for this painting? $100, $200. Another voice said, we didn't come to see this painting. We came to see the Van Goghs and the Rembrandts. Get on with the real bids and wait till the end. But the auctioneer just continued. The son, who will take the portrait of this son? Finally, a voice from the very back of the room called out. It was a longtime gardener of the man and his son. He said, I'll give $100 for the painting. He was a poor man. That's all he could afford. We have $100 for this bid. Who'll give me $200? Give it to him for $100, they said. Let's get on with this auction. $100 is the bid. Will someone give me $2? The crowd was getting angry. And they said, would you just give it to him for $100 and let's get on with it? Going once, going twice, gone. The man sitting in about the second row said, good, now let's get on with the auction. I'm sorry, said the auctioneer, the auction is over. And they said, well, what are you talking about? The paintings. Auctioneer said, I'm sorry. When I was called to conduct this auction, I was told of a secret stipulation in the will, and I was not allowed to reveal that stipulation until this moment. You see, only the painting of the son would be auctioned. Whoever bought that painting would also inherit the entire estate. The man who takes the son gets everything. And the auction was over. See, the same is true with us. God gave his son Jesus 2,000 years ago to die on a cross. Much like that auctioneer, the same is true today. My son, who will take the son? Because when you take his son, you get everything. And just like me, when I made that one decision, it turned out to be the most eternal decision that I've ever made in my whole life. And you can too. Because God gets our attention for a reason. Will you say yes to his son? Well, you might not know what your future holds, but you'll know now who holds the future. And he'll be able to speak to you. It only begins with the forgiveness of sin. And so we ask for forgiveness, and Jesus, who paid the price for forgiveness is able to give us everything the Father has in store. But it begins with us saying yes to Jesus Christ. I'm so glad I did, because my whole life has changed. Let me share now a poem that I love to share, and I think it's my favorite poem. It's about an auction, but our lives are included. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it was scarcely worth his while to spend much time on such an old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two. $2, who'll make it three? $3 going once, $3 going twice, and going for three." But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired old man came forward and he picked up the bow. He wiped the dust off that old violin and tightened its loosened strings. And with a craftsman's touch and an artist's hand, he held it to his chin. He played a melody both pure and sweet, like caroling angels sing. And all that was there heard the sweet song that he shared that came from that same old violin. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid now for this old violin?" And then he held it up with a bow. $1,000, who'll give me two? $2,000, who'll give me three? $3,000, going once, going twice, and gone, said he. The crowd, they cheered, but some they cried, "We don't quite understand. What changed its worth?" Quick came the reply, "It was the touch of the master's hand." In many of our lives, we're way out of tune, battered and scarred with sin. We're auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. Party here, excuse there. We shrug and we travel on, but we're going once, we're going twice, we're going and we're almost gone. But then the master comes along, and a foolish crowd may never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's brought by the touch of our master's hand. That's how much God loves us. So he gets our attention to show us his son. Because he who has the son hath life. He who has the son has all the Father has in store. If you've never received Jesus, I want to ask you to do that today. It's a very simple thing. Just tell Jesus, "Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need a new beginning. You got my attention. And now, Lord, I ask that you would guide me and be the Lord of my life. Please forgive me of my sins. I need to get close to you, not run from you. Adam and Eve did that, Jonah did that, and I've been doing that. Lord, I want to stop running. You love me enough to intercept me. The least I can do is give you my attention." And God shows you his best in his son, Jesus Christ. That's where it all begins. Hundreds and hundreds of us have made that decision, and our lives are transformed. That's why we're here, to thank God. And we worship him and thank him. Our hearts are filled afresh, and then we live as people of the kingdom of God to share his good news. There's people out there that have no peace in their lives. They're running after the wrong goals. And we want to be those that would be ambassadors for Christ, to show them the way home. And the Lord has brought you here for a reason. So we're going to pray, and if you've never made that decision, make it today. It'll be the most eternal decision you will ever make. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here and you'd say, "That's my heart, Wayne. I need a new start. I need forgiveness. I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. God has gotten my attention. That's why I'm here. And now I want to take that step of faith and say, Lord, would you receive me as I receive forgiveness and a new beginning?" If that's you right now, would you raise a hand? And in doing so, you're saying yes to Jesus. Okay? Yeah? Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Just hold them up for a second so I can see them. Yeah, okay, I'm praying for you. God bless you up there too. Yep, in the back. Yep, yep. Okay, yep, in the front. All right, yeah, yeah. Good, you can put your hands down. How many of you would be here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but you know, to tell you the truth, I have a tendency to run from God, and I'm not as close as I need to be. I think I'm kind of like on my way to Tarshish, and God's getting my attention. I need to come close to Him. I need to come back home. Lord, would you help me? Help me make a U-turn and follow you into your best for my life. If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, yeah, Lord, would you draw me close back to you? Yeah, yeah. You can put your hands in. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And again, as Pastor Elwin said, there are yes tables outside. And if you made that decision to follow Jesus, please stop by. Just tell them, I said yes to Christ today. I said yes today. And they'll give you a follow-up packet and it's a Bible and some follow-up material. Take it. It's free and it'll help you. And then we welcome you to the family of God and His local family called New Hope Christian Fellowship. Come and join what God's doing. Learn to walk with Him and then apply His principles to life. You watch, you wait. For eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has promised to those who love Him. So would you repeat this prayer after me as we conclude? Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to die for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. I turn from my sins. I turn to you. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I stop running from you and I start running to you. So now I say this, so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you for receiving us. Thank you for your hand on this church. We ask that you would bless every single one as we learn to walk with you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for these who made that decision for the very first time. We welcome them in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision.
In Christ alone, I place my trust.
bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Give someone a hug on your way home. God bless you.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Getting Our Attention by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope, heard each day at this time on this very fine station. Until next time, God bless you and aloha. It's Christ alone.